Transmission start. Welcome to Where Did the Road Go? Join us as we wander off the path and explore lost history, consciousness, the paranormal, unexplained mysteries, alternative thought, and much more. We are present on the web at wheredidtheroadgo.com. Now here is your host, Soraya.
And welcome to this week's edition of Where Did the Road Go? And with me in studio, I have Mr. Peter Robbins.
Greetings and good to be back.
It has been a while, Peter.
It has, too long.
And you have brought a guest with you.
I have.
Please introduce her.
Kate Thorvaldsen is from Norway, is visiting the United States for the first time. It goes without saying that means she's visiting Ithaca, New York for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Kate is here in great part because as a colleague, she will be joining me, Travis Walton, and the great scientist Mark D'Antonio as speakers at next Saturday's Pine Bush, New York UFO Festival and UFO Conference. So,
and what's the date on that?
That is starting Friday night, May 19th, and all day on the 20th.
Okay.
The lion's share of the day is festival, just fun stuff.
Mm.
The conference kicks in. It starts at 5, ends about 9, and it's a great lineup of speakers. And on the Friday evening, we're going to be screening the Travis Walton documentary. And then Travis will be speaking, obviously, as our keynote speaker, taking questions and answers. And this is Kate's very first talk within the United States. She has spoken other places, been involved in this work for years. For me, she has shown tremendous courage in coming forward and adding to our collective knowledge about non-human entities, and particularly about the implant phenomena.
Yes.
And those will be subjects of her talk.
And you are suffering from major jet lag.
Yes, I am.
But, so you've had experiences your whole life.
Yeah. My first one was, I was already 3 years old.
And you remember those clearly.
Yeah, I do.
How far back do you remember things? Like just in general?
I actually remember my own birth.
Really?
Yeah.
It's always amazing when people can do that. Usually it's around 2 or 3 people start remembering things.
Yeah. And I remember I told my mother later that I was asking her that after I was born, did they put me down on a table or something and put something white on my hands? And then she was looking at me with big eyes and said, yes, they did. How do you know? I said, I remember. And in that place that I was born, that was normal. They was putting the kind of white socks on the newborn's hands. So they would not scratch themselves.
Interesting. Lean that mic a little down toward you a little bit.
Okay.
That's perfect.
Yep.
All right. If people have any questions for the two of you, if you're listening live on WVBR, you can go to wheredidtheroadgo.com. There's a little pop-up, and you can send me a message, and I'll relay the question over. And that is assuming everything works right. It usually does. Okay, so your first experience. You are working on a book about all this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, do you know when that's going to be done?
Hopefully it will be done by September.
Okay, all right. And what was your first ever experience that stood out?
My mother, she has just put me to bed for the night, and I wasn't tired. So I remember I was standing in the crib, looking out the window. I don't know for how long I was standing there. But suddenly, without any sound or anything, this little grayish creature was coming out of the wall, left on my left side, approaching my grid. Is that what you call it?
Crib.
The crib, yeah, where I'm standing. And he was almost the same height as me. Mm. And we were just standing there looking at each other. I think that I was trying to say something, but it didn't answer me back. But we had a certain kind of communication between our, yeah.
Did you realize this was weird at the time?
No.
Okay.
I was told that a few days later, the Santa Claus would be coming. So in my head, I put the name Santa Claus on this little guy.
Sure.
And I was getting the feeling that this guy was just coming there and just to check upon me to see if I was okay.
Hmm.
And then he was disappearing the same way he was coming. And the next moment, I seeing this creature together with another one in a craft outside the window and just take off. And for me, that was nothing abnormal. But I remember very good, 2-3 days later, my mother had me on her arm, taking me into the TV room because I was going to meet the Santa Claus. I was very happy about that until I saw the Santa Claus. That man was dressed in red, false beard and a mask, and I was screaming my head off. I didn't like that one. So, yeah.
So the little non-human entity is fine, but the Santa Claus was scary.
Santa Claus was scary, but not a little gray one. No, he was nice. He was just giving me a good feeling. And yeah, he was just giving me the feeling that he was checking if to see if I was okay.
Now, did you tell people about this experience?
At that point, I was just telling my mother that I was seeing Santa Claus.
Ah, okay. So she probably didn't think much of it.
No, she didn't.
Does anyone in your family have experiences?
My mother, she has actually seen them, and my grandfather has seen them, so it goes with the family.
Okay. That's not too unusual.
No.
So what happened after that?
Next time I saw them, I was 10 years old. I liked very much to climb out on the roof, sit there at night and looking at the stars, and yeah. I had the feeling that I didn't belong here, so somewhere out there. It's home or whatever.
Right.
And I had no idea for how many nights I was doing this. But from one night to another, there was this bright light coming down over the roof, sucked me up. And the next I remember, I was lying in my bed downstairs. And in the beginning, I would think, okay, maybe I was sleeping on the roof, half sleeping, getting inside again. But there was several things that was different. Normally, I loved horses. I was painting horses all day long. Now, I was starting to paint little gray men with big black eyes. I was not talking about horses. I was talking about other life systems, life forms, planetary systems, all kind of stuff. And I remember the face of the teacher on school. He was thinking that, okay, this is another case. But yeah, I was doing this for a little time, but since I got no response from the people around me, I stopped.
Right. Now these are memories you remember. None of this came from hypnosis.
Not this one.
Okay. Eventually, you did get hypnosis, but these were all.
Yeah, that was after my last experience, because of course I have lots of experience between us, but now I'm just talking about the close encounters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The last close encounters I had, I was around 28 years old. I was going to this cabin. It was around 20 kilometers to the next house or people. I wanted to be alone, working on my book, of
mm-hmm,
course.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to stay there for 2 months. And that's what the plan was. But I was waking up the next one of the mornings after 1 week. And normally you can sometimes get this kind of pillow marks on your face.
Yeah.
This was clearly not a pillow mark. You could see it was like after a really firm object. On top of my eyelid is like a hook in my face.
Hmm.
And I had this dried greenish gray material that was dried from my eyes and from my nose. And my nose was feeling very sore.
Right.
But my first thought was, I'm going to be sick or something. But in the middle of the day, everything was gone. I was feeling fine. But when the night was coming, I was stressed out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because then I knew in my system that something had happened. And I think I was reading the same magazine maybe 20 times that night because I didn't dare to fall asleep. So I was getting in contact with the people that owned the cabin, and they was picking me up and bringing me down to the society again.
Uh-huh.
Then we could see the changes. You know, your microphone, your mobile phone charger?
Yeah.
If you're putting that in a wall, it will sound like the most terrible microphone beep ever. That is really painful for your ears.
Yeah.
That was the sound. And electrical things, all kind of electrical at all, you could hear it. So it was terrible.
So did you also become electrosensitive? Like, were you affecting electronics, or could you just hear them?
Most of the time, I hear them.
So you weren't affecting them in any way.
Sometimes it looks like I do, yeah.
Okay. Crashing computers or draining batteries?
Not so much my own, but a lot of others.
That's interesting. That happens.
And when I was coming back home, my boyfriend at the time, he had bought me this perfume. I was normally just putting it on just to please him because I couldn't smell it. Mm. My smell was, I had lost my smell when I was 10 years old from the second experience.
Okay.
So, but this time I was doing the same thing, put the perfume on, going out to his office just to return back inside again to wash it off because now my smelling was back. So, sensitive to lights, and I'm still sensitive to lights, and yeah.
Okay. All right. The times when these experiences happen, were you in any kind of upheaval in your life, or were they just standard, just out of the blue type of things?
Out of the blue.
So your life was more or less normal at the time. Nothing was going on?
No.
Okay. All right.
So since I didn't remember what was happening, then I was we were going through together with UFO Norway, and we were getting this hypnosis. So under the hypnosis, then we found out that there was this tall gray being that was coming into the cabin, and he also brought with him three other small gray ones that was working on me. So they was putting on me this kind of a helmet with exactly this kind of fingers that kind of grab it, that holds this helmet onto your head. And then it was putting some kind of needles in my ears and this forks up my nose.
Mm. You didn't save any of the stuff that you had on your face that when you originally woke up, did you?
No, I just cleaned it off.
Yeah, yeah.
It's typical. But
and chances are it would turn out just to be normal stuff that looked weird.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be the way it works.
Yeah. And for many, many years, I have always known that I had this triangle-shaped thing on my neck.
Mm-hmm.
And I have also heard a lot of talking about implants over the years, but I never think about, maybe I have one, maybe I don't.
Yeah.
But my life has a busy schedule, and most of the time you don't think about it.
Right, right.
Until a year ago, then things starts to happen. A friend of mine, Sid Goldberg, he was working on a case in Canada that was with the implants. And he said, why don't you buy one of these magnets? Small, tiny, strong magnets, and mm-hmm. try to put it on. And one thing is to think that you maybe have implants till it's actually the magnet sticks. That is a wow feeling. And then my friend said, since your nose has been closed for so many years, maybe you should try it on your nose too. And I said, okay, I can do that. And it stick there too. And it won't fall off.
And it only sticks on the areas you have implants. You're not magnetic in some way.
Yeah. If I take it just a centimeter on the side, it will fall off.
Hmm.
In the article that was published in UFO Truth magazine that Kate wrote last autumn, one of the things I thought was very important that she mentioned, it's a regular everyday thing, but if you're writing an article talking about this kind of thing, people need to know this. Before any demonstrations, she'll always make a point of letting people know that she has washed her face, so the minimum body oils, because we all know you can stick some little thing on if you've been outside all day,
right,
you know,
right.
It will hold. But this is not that. This is not that.
Yeah.
And we had a little research party on my body. And we were shocked because we found 25 implants. Symmetrical placed all over.
So they are all of them symmetrical?
They're all symmetrical. I have two here, and beside the nose, here, on my neck, five in the front, and then following the spine all the way down, and two in the back here. But for just a few days ago, we found out it sticks here too now, so it's actually 28.
Wow, okay. Someone wants to know if you have problems with quartz wrist clocks or malfunction or pain in your arm.
If I have pain in my arm.
Yeah, I don't. That's what he said. Malfunction or pain in the arm?
I have some pain in my arms, yes, but that comes because of my old work.
Oh.
Carpenter.
Ah, okay. And do you have problems with quartz wristwatches?
The wristwatch guy?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, yeah. So they work fine on you.
Yeah.
That's almost weirder than if they didn't. Have you had any, like, other weird experience, poltergeist experiences, anything like that, that out of the ordinary?
A lot. So many, you have no idea. I could sit here to tomorrow or even write my own book about it.
Can you give us a couple of those?
I can give you one experience that is, for many people, quite heavy. But for me, it was actually nice. I was lying at my bed at night, and I was feeling a little bit down, a little bit alone. And suddenly there was something was coming into the room and sitting down on the bed. But I didn't see it from my perspective. But in the next second, it was like I was up on the roof, looking down on the bed. I saw myself, and then I saw this person sitting there. The next second, I was back in my body again. But this person was actually going on to the other side of the bed. If you're lying in the bed and you're having your sheets all over you, so imagine if some person is lying on top of that, behind you, you will feel like that you are lying in a cocoon or something.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of feeling. So this person was lying behind me all the way down, and the blanket was just... And I was thinking, okay, thanks. I got a hug from the other side. So what? And fall asleep.
All right.
So
okay.
that was nice. I'm not afraid for the things on the other side. So I've been experiencing too much of it over the years.
Right. You kind of get numb to it in a way.
Yeah. And didn't get any feeling that it would harm me in any way.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Do these things feel negative to you, or do they feel empowering to you?
I never had the feeling that they are trying to do some harm.
Okay.
I very often comparing it to a dentist appointment. You don't like it, but they are doing something to help you.
Have you ever felt terrified? Let me try to talk again. Have you ever felt terrified of them?
No, I haven't. Of course, that night in the cabin, I was stressed out because I knew something happened.
Yeah.
But I couldn't remember what. That was the thing that was freaking me out.
In your life, have you had a lot of trauma or anything like that?
I have a rough background in my family situation, yes.
When you were really young?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
But I don't think that has nothing to do with this. That's for sure.
Well, as Kenneth Ring had done some research on this and found that a lot of people who have near-death experiences, alien encounters and stuff, also have a traumatic background. And I mean, what the connection is, I don't know, but there's definitely something there that might help open us up to these type of experiences. I had another question here. I just got to pull it up. Do you think that humans might be involved with all the implants? He says, I'm reminded of William Powalek. Not familiar? I'm not familiar with William. Do you think humans could in any way be involved with these implants?
No, not in this case.
Have you ever seen, when you've had one of these encounters, have you ever seen someone that you know is deceased or you found out later is deceased?
No.
Okay.
I haven't.
So it's been very non-human in your experiences.
Yeah.
Have you seen any humans ever in these experiences?
No.
Okay. All right. What's the most recent thing that's happened to you?
I think that the last one was when I was out driving the car. That was actually quite funny. I was in my friend's house and we had been talking in the middle of the night. And I was thinking that, okay, now it's time for me to go home. When I was getting out of the door, I was feeling that someone was watching me. But then I said, just my imagination. Got myself in the car, started to drive home, getting into the highway area. But there was, in the old days, there were no lights in this part of the road. And just before I was going to put the long light, is that what you're calling it?
The
distance light?
Oh, yes. Your high
beams. Beam.
Yeah, okay. And just before I was going to do that, I was hearing this clear voice in my head who said, put down the lights of the car. And before I could start to think that, oh, I can't do that because if I do, I won't see nothing. I did. I did take off the light of the car. And that next show I was getting that was filling the sky was so big and so bright. It was a big thing dancing around, jumping around in the sky. So when it was gone, you could still see the print after it, mm-hmm. as you have been watching a blitz.
Now, did it zip off or did it just disappear?
Just disappeared.
Okay.
And I was just, wow. I was still driving, but on very low speed. And I was thinking, oh, please give me more. Give me more. It was just, wow. So, yeah, that's a fun, nice experience.
I wonder if these things haven't been terrifying to you because you've never approached them from a point of fear.
No, I think that's a good reason too, because since my first experience was, it was nice.
Yeah, and you remembered it, and I think a lot of people don't. So when it hits them later in life, even if they've had prior experiences, they don't remember. So now it's just something that's terrifying to them. And I think when you bring fear into it, it becomes a very scary thing.
Yeah. So can the dentist.
That is very true. Honestly, I happen to like my dentist, so I'm not afraid of my dentist. He's very good.
Okay.
I do too.
Now, what do you make of all this, Peter?
I'm reminded of that great quote, whoever said it, I don't remember, that the world is not only stranger than we imagine, it is stranger than we can imagine. Mm. I think back to all the years that I worked at the right hand of Bud Hopkins and the hundreds of abductees, or certainly people who approached him who fit that profile to a glove, that you do the work, you see the patterns. You log things in. An aspect of things makes sense. You think you're getting a sense of a picture, and then information that can be documented throws you off, and you're seeing a whole nother part, like looking at the diamond through a different facet. And I don't know how many cases Bud dealt with, case being such an impersonal word for such a shattering series of events in a people's lives.
Yeah.
Where there were implants involved. When Roger Lear got involved, I remember seeing more actively. And with Kett's situation, we once again go back to square one. I had never encountered a situation where somebody had, you know, multiple yes, two, three in extreme cases, but this was so off the charts for me. And when we originally met 2.5 years ago in southern Brazil, the perfect place to meet Norwegian women, of course, and she had come with a Norwegian colleague, a wonderful speaker and approacher of the subject very scientifically. And when she told us about this aspect, it just set off my imagination to such a degree, and I don't mean as in imagining things, but just being reminded of how uncharted all this territory is. Also, I have a special place in my heart for people who have been through extraordinary things like this and yet come out not just intact, but seeing it as an experience in life that they grow from.
Right.
Not that is, you know, a frightening Dave Jacobs kind of scenario, so terrifying that it is not only your secret, you live with the fear that if anybody learns about it, your life will be ruined. It takes great courage to be out about this stuff.
Yeah.
And so our relationship is built from there. It's the goods. I mean, this is documented. They're there. As in the case of literally every non-human implantation of a implant. And of course, you and I know, and Kat knows, anybody that studies the subject knows that humans have mastered this technology now. Mm-hmm. Originally, about 25 years ago, when I first started following it, the state of the art was something about the size of an American quarter that was made to be subcutaneously inserted into the local anesthetic ear of a cow and then sealed up. It was literally a LoJack. If your livestock wandered out of your pasture within a limited range, you could track it. Now, what we're seeing, and this is worth, even though it's digressing into the human realm, we need to consider this stuff. They can now make implants the size of like a grain of rice or a BB, like the non-human ones, that can hold a tremendous amount of information.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, may be able to affect your behavior one way or the other, but rather insidiously and at the same time completely understandably, the tech companies that are manufacturing these things are very discreetly marketing them to two major groups. One is law enforcement. Hey, you've got, you know, a triple felony in your prison. Don't you want to spend the $28 to insert this thing into their arm? They've lost their civil rights anyway. Who the hell cares? Right. We can now track them if they escape, or who knows what else. The other area is to the one percenters and other wealthy people. Your dear little child going to the finest private school in the world is potentially the subject of a kidnapping. Of course, it's a terrible violation of the child's rights and, you know, their own...
Yeah, it becomes kind of a gray area there.
But you know what? Both arguments have their sway.
Mm-hmm.
Again, with Kat, all of these implants and not a single location where you see anything. This, for me, would be the equivalent of a modern doctor doing, you know, localized surgery and puts it in and there's nothing showing.
So the thing, well, one of the things that always comes to mind when I think about implants is there are shamanic traditions where the shamans will be opened up and gems or crystals will be implanted into them. Mm. And I always think that somehow connected to all this, that experience that shamans have had with whatever is going on now. But the other question that just occurred to me is, how do we know that you haven't had these your whole life? I mean, is it possible they've always been there?
I don't know. I just found out this last January.
Yeah, so it's not like something made you think, oh, there's something under my skin. It was just that you started looking for them, basically.
I had this triangle shaped on my neck that Sid wanted me to put this on and just to figure out to see if it sticks. And it was coming as a big surprise that it was sticking all over the places. but they are following certain points, and that is the meridian points.
I was wondering that, too. It sounded like it was following meridian points.
So, yeah. So this case is still not closed. We are still sitting with a lot of questions.
Because I also feel like anyone who is able to put an implant in that's undetectable and how it got in there could also make the implant undetectable. Mm-hmm. So I almost feel like it's something there for to be found, you know? Like it's not supposed to be hidden, or it's doing something other than transmitting data or something like that.
Yeah. And let me correct myself briefly. Obviously, we didn't talk about the implants in Brazil, but last year, obviously, when they came up.
Right.
And the illustrations of how they were picked up. This stuff is fascinating. And for any modern medical practitioner unfamiliar with, resistant to, completely dismissive of this phenomena, this is a big hunkin' problem.
Yes.
I can't even imagine. My heart goes out to a dedicated regulation issue, you know, doctor, surgeon, specialist or something, who has a patient who emerges as somebody who has had anomalous experiences and has these things or things like them from them and trying to explain it away. Yeah. It's very difficult.
Yeah, that chiropractor that was coming forward to do this, to take this picture of me, we were asking him that, in your education, mm-hmm. you know that there is possible for the magnet to stick? And he said, no way. Okay. Took it up, put it on my face, and okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I had to prove him wrong at the spot.
Now, have you had, like, x-rays and stuff done of these? And what do they show?
They show a little pieces. You must make them big picture.
Right.
Then you can see them.
So they're little, tiny.
Very, very tiny. They are not a rice, something on like a rice corn or something. That is much, much smaller.
Really? And they're still the magnets will pick them up.
Yeah, as you can see.
That's interesting.
Again, we are dealing with technologies we can only best make educated guesses about. I think one of the most entertaining and charming aspects of one of the great science fiction models, because in science, sometimes we don't find the models we're looking for. Great visionary science fiction sometimes supplies them.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that the whole first generation Star Trek thing was either 200 or 300 years in the future, when what we may be dealing with could be 3 million, 300,000 years, 1.5 million, 10 million. Take your best guess. But they are so way advanced from us that we are left in the dust of even beginning to try to construct an imaginary construct at the roughest time. Other times, educated guesses are revealing remarkable things. One of our speakers in Pinebush next Saturday, one of my favorite people in the work who has gone through his own, we almost lost Mark D'Antonio a few short years ago from a massive stroke.
Mm.
And not only did he come back, he came back completely and with an experience that has made him, for me, somebody I have tremendous affection, respect, and admiration for. But as a teacher, and he comes from a science teaching background, he makes his points brilliantly. And his talk on the exoplanets builds on the idea that we now all know, even the most conservative, stodgy, shut down, reactionary, pissed off scientist who doesn't want to admit there's a chance in hell that intelligent life has evolved elsewhere in the cosmos, that the exoplanet phenomena, namely a group of small planets surrounding a sun-sized star with a planet, give or take about the size of Earth, about the same distance, with the potential for the same, if you're a person of faith, miracle of God, if you are a agnostic pragmatist, the great primordial ooze that bred that very first one-celled animal that became a two-celled animal, and the race was on. But Mark will be talking about the exoplanets in that context. Hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. And it's also possible, I mean, we're so indoctrinated into this Big Bang idea that fails on so many levels, and it's possible the universe has been here forever, that there is no beginning, and then imagine how advanced something could be out there.
All I know is from what you just said, I just lost several brain cells and a small fuse blew in my head. Forever?
Yeah.
I guess it's, well, why not?
It's not a concept we can wrap our brain around. It's just not. Our brains do not comprehend infinity. I mean, even when you look at the pictures they've taken of all the galaxies in space where the galaxies look like little dots, and each one of those is a full galaxy, and it's incomprehensible to us. We can look at it. We can think, wow, that's a lot, but there's no way for us to really understand how many that is.
You know, to...
Number is not important.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is a human thing that we yes. always need numbers.
Right. Yep.
But how the system works, that's another thing.
I'm remembering the brilliant, creative, and wonderful ending of the first Men in Black movie, where the cat with the collar, with the marble around its neck, and we go into this marble around its neck, and it is the cosmos.
Oh, yeah,
go
yeah,
in, find a planet, and there's an alien playing marbles, and cut to the credits.
Yep.
Well, astrophysics is my second thing that I'm doing.
Really? Is it something you've always done, or is this new?
This is new.
Okay.
Several years ago, I had never been especially interested in astrophysics, and I can assure you I was not into astrophysics at all when I was starting to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually standing in a basement working on a dress for a wedding. Not my wedding, but someone else. And then some numbers just start to come. And then single pictures and structures, this starting to build up and build up. And suddenly I wasn't in the basement anymore. I was out there watching everything from above.
Hmm.
And before they was taking me all the way back inside again till we found our little space.
Interesting.
So I'm working on a book now, but my book number 2 that is almost half ready is about astrophysics.
Okay, all right. And is it astrophysics as you've been shown things, or?
It's difficult to explain. I don't have the education for it, so I will not use formulas and things like that.
Right.
But I'm having a feeling that some of these implants also maybe are helping me to connect with the matrix, so to speak.
Right, right.
So I can just connect myself on it. I don't need to put myself in meditation or anything like that. And then the film is start moving.
Hmm. Does this stuff come in cycles in any way? Like more activity, less activity? Or is it just
random? That depends on me.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, it depends on you as in you open yourself up to it?
No, that depends on if I'm putting my mind to it.
Right. Okay. Now, you've never had any of the implants. You've never tried to remove any.
No, I don't want to remove them since they are symmetrical placed.
Yeah.
If there were one out of there, out in the blue or something, then okay, you can take that one. But since everyone is following a pattern, no, I don't want to move any.
Do you feel they affect your health?
Not in a bad way.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, are they helping you?
I'm feeling that they are there to help me to connect with matrix. I'm calling the universe the matrix.
Okay. Why do you choose the matrix?
It's because that now and then I can actually see the matrix. If you remember the Matrix film,
mm-hmm.
When you can see all the things
as
an energy,
yeah.
Instead of the
corporeal, the
physical, yeah.
That you
can kind of seeing through the illusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Do you see auras around people?
I can if I want to. Yeah.
Okay, so it's saying you turn on and off.
I'm trying my best to turn it off. Actually.
What about psychic stuff? Do you pick things up? Do you know things are going to happen?
I very easily read people, and I'm trying my best not to. That mm-hmm. is also a thing I'm trying to close off because I'm not interested, and because you can, for example, think for yourself. If you are walking into a crowd of people and you are going to pick up every emotion and things that those people are going through, I can assure you, you won't be staying there for long.
Yes, it becomes very overwhelming.
Yeah. And for me, the psychic thing is not a big thing. For me, it's just the bubble around each person with energy that is just loaded with their own thoughts and memories. It's like a memory bank that they are carrying with them all the time.
Like information?
Yeah.
Just being surrounding someone and things?
Yeah.
Do you have weird dreams? I mean, how does this affect your dreams? Are they just normal dreams?
Normal dreams.
So no lucid dreams or sleep paralysis or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
I'm fine. I'm sleeping good.
I think part of that, too, is because you approach it in such a different way than a lot of people do.
I never have nightmares.
But no lucid dreams where you wake up during your dreams or anything like that?
I can be awake inside a dream mm-hmm. and control a dream, yeah. I can do that.
Intentionally, or does it just happen?
It just happened.
Okay. Do you ever dream about these experiences?
No, never.
Huh. I would think somehow it would sneak into your dream life.
No, I think that is because that I have a very relaxed approach to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Actually.
What do you think is going on? I know it's such an easy question, but
it's an easy question, but it's a big topic to answer.
Yeah.
So I think that they have, since this has been a family thing,
mm-hmm.
and since they have been following me since from the beginning of my life, I think there is a bigger picture going on, and they have picked me, and I'm here to do. I have a purpose to do something, to change something.
Do you think part of that is writing this book and getting this information out there?
Some of it, yeah, it is.
Do you have a feeling on what the rest of it is?
There's different kind of things I'm going to do over the next years, but I'm also starting to work on direct democracy.
Which is what?
now you can see all over the world that our governments, the systems, the precedents and all this stuff, we have had this for centuries and centuries. And I think that when will the people wake up and see that this doesn't work? Most of the people now, they have been giving up. The governments, they don't even know what to choose when they're going to elect someone.
Yeah.
Because, they feel that their voice is not heard. But with direct democracy, everyone's voice counts. Because then you have to rebuild the whole system, so you don't need any government anymore. You don't need any politicians walking around saying fancy words. Because this system that will be just be an organ, is that what you're calling it? A system that will just do the things that the people has chosen it to do.
Right, right.
So if there is a big case going on, everyone has to be like they're voting for a singing contest. Contest, just to bring an example, that both sides should find out a little bit on the other side and then vote what they want, but there should also be shown a third solution on the problem by people that are experts in the topic.
Mm. Okay. All right. Do you find yourself concerned about the environment more?
Yeah.
More so as these experiences have gotten worse, or has that always been a concern? I guess what I'm asking is, do you think the experiences have played a part in making you more environmentally aware?
Oh, yeah, I think so, because I'm seeing the planet in one big piece.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And I'm seeing where the human race are going. I've seen where the planets are going. And it kills my heart to see.
Do you believe these things you're interacting with are extraterrestrial, or could they be something else, like part of our world or part of something connected to our world?
And now I didn't follow the question.
The entities themselves,
yep.
Do you think they are ETs, another dimension?
Like a part of the Earth?
They can come from all over the place. If you're looking at the Earth, for example, you can compare the Earth as a radio station. We have all kind of different frequencies. Our body is a frequency. This table is a frequency.
Right.
Everything is a frequency. So a lot of times when they are thinking, oh, how can they disappear out in like that? They just change the frequency.
Right. Right.
You can't see them anymore, but they are still there.
And we have a very limited range of what frequencies we can see.
Yeah. For example, if you come to the X-rays or other things like that, they exist. We are using them, but we can't see them.
Now, have you had, and we talked about the X-ray on the implants. Have you had anything else done to try and determine what they are?
No, not yet.
Okay. Are you planning on doing things?
Yeah, we will.
Do you know what?
I think that we will try to make most of the tests with the MRI and this, what's the name of it again, that will measure, that could measure the electricity, or if there are signals?
A magnetic resonance imaging, I think.
Okay.
I wonder how I would react if it were me. And I'm steeped in the information. I had a sister who was an abductee for me the night that, as probably a 11 or 12-year-old, that she sneezed. Helen had asthma. And always whatever allergies were going around at the moment. But she had a sneezing fit one night. And it became part of our family history, because I remember waking up in my bed with light coming in from the hallway and, you know, people moving. And, you know, like a kid sleeping, kind of walked out. And my parents were in my sister's room. Sister Anne was asleep. And Helen looked a bit pale, but there was bright red on her pillowcase. She had sneezed out, ultimately, in retrospect, an implant that had been inserted way up into her sinus area. And that night, my mom or dad took her to an ear, nose, and throat guy out in Garden City on Long Island. And as Helen recalled years later, his reaction was, did you stick a pencil up your nose? And she made it clear that she didn't. And then he shared with her that it didn't really matter because she couldn't get a pencil up there. But whatever it was gone. And she did have that 12-year-old girl memory of looking in the Kleenex and seeing this thing about the size of a BB that had a coating on it that she reacted to with ick. And into the tissue it went, into the trash it went. And
yeah,
that was
of course
that.
It did.
But again, what I'm saying here is I think Kate shows a great equilibrium. It's like they're there. I accept it. I'm not panicked about it. I'm doing okay. If they were there for a bad reason, I would probably know it. Why mess around? Who wants any kind of intrusive surgery anyway?
Well, yeah.
You want to, you know, pull one out to play around with it. But that idea of symmetry, of symmetry makes a, right, exactly, makes a huge difference to me logically.
Yes.
And intuitively logically. Why mess with it?
Now, are they exactly symmetrical?
Yeah.
That's really, because nothing on the body is quite symmetrical. You know, people don't realize that because, you know, we have two eyes, two ears, but nothing is quite symmetrical.
Mm.
So the fact that they're symmetrical, again, implies placement.
Well, of course, we haven't measured it in the millimeters or something like that. But when you put them on, it looks very,
very symmetrical.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it's easier to dismiss if someone has one, especially if you can't stick a magnet to it.
Not usually the case.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. What would you say the weirdest experience you've had has been?
Oh, wow. That would be difficult. That would be difficult to point out.
Well, you can pick one of them.
Are you thinking about the extraterrestrial, or do you think about the paranormal?
Any of them. Any of them. Because I honestly think these are all connected in some way.
I think that has to be the most heavy one has been the one that was lying in my bed. That is definitely the most heavy one. But I have experienced before someone that is coming, walking through the room, dumping himself beside me in the sofa.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been jumping off the sofa. Wow. Something like and no, I think that must be the strangest one.
Okay. Right.
Or strange is not the exact the right word either.
Unusual, weird.
Yeah, but nice in the same time.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah.
At that point, but yeah.
Now, have you had any bad experiences?
Not with them, no.
No, okay. What about in paranormal type stuff?
Yeah, I actually have seen different stuff, but that has been more like between awake and sleeping.
Okay.
Thing. So that was feeling bad. It was. I was lying in bed and it was looking like some creature that was looked like demonized like thing that was crawling up like a cat up on my bed against me, and I could feel the evil thing, and then it was gone.
Is it was it gone because you kind of woke up from that half sleep?
Yeah, I think so. But I had another experience that it just reminded me of. This one was it's not a bad one, but I guess that for most people it would be spooky. And if I'm telling it, people maybe think I'm a little bit weird, but that's me. I was going to sleep at night and I was lying in bed. That was the same bed. And suddenly out of the blue from nowhere was this like a gray cloud on the right side of the bed that was building up to a figure with this old, this kind of a hoodie kind of thing. And it looks like it was age of thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting the feeling it was death.
Death or death?
Death.
Death. Death. Okay.
Yeah. And this was just gliding around the bed and coming to this side. And I remember I was sitting myself up. I was still feeling that this was the death, but I wasn't afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just feeling that, I wanted to give this thing a hug. I think that this creature needed a hug because it looked so old and so, yeah. And then it disappeared. But I remember I was stretching my arms. I was trying to give this a hug, and then it was gone. And in the same time, the day before this was happening, I have a good friend that was a pilot. He was just getting back to work, He was training people how to learn to fly big airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to be on this trip together with him. And I tried to call him, and then he didn't answer. And the next day I found out why. He and the crew and the plane was lying on 300 meters deep. So they have been.
They were in the water, you mean?
Yeah, they were gone down.
Oh, no.
So I think that death was coming around on that bed. It was him.
Mm.
But still, I was still thinking that, why didn't you show yourself as you? That would be more natural.
Well, it leads to another question. When you see these things, do you think you're seeing them as they are, or do you think you're seeing them as some projection of either what they want you to see or what your brain is projecting onto them?
Are you talking about paranormal or extraterrestrial?
Any of it.
And normally I see them as they are.
So you think that is their actual form?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you see paranormal stuff like that, you say, you know, you think, why isn't he himself?
No, normally they are being themselves. This is the one case only that has become like this.
Okay. All right. If you could go back and erase this from your life, would you?
No. Definitely not.
I think that's a good answer. Do you feel chosen, in a sense, by these things?
In one way, I do, yeah.
Okay.
But in the other hand, I think that this is something I have been choosing myself even before I was coming here.
Before you were born, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you believe in reincarnation?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Now you say you feel like your home was out there in the stars somewhere. Do you feel that's because of a past life, or do you feel like maybe you're not?
Yeah, I've been there in past lives, yeah.
Okay. Do you remember anything from past lives?
A lot from past lives, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. How many have been not on Earth?
There are two of them that are not from this place, but I don't remember so much from those areas.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember a lot from the thing I from the lives I've had here.
Nice. On this world.
Yeah.
Do you remember future lives or only ones in the past?
Just the past.
Okay. Did these come spontaneously to you, or are these revived through hypnosis?
No, this is coming spontaneously.
Okay. Have most of your memories been spontaneous? Have you used hypnosis for very much of anything?
No. Okay. Just once.
Okay.
And I think that is a little bit funny when we are talking about the past lives. I had one life in particular that I was living in Mongolia.
Hmm.
I remember it so well. I was riding my horse, having my eagles, and I was so happy. It was wintertime, and I was going home to the person I was together with, and I was having this very, very happy feeling. So I was feeling really bad when I was getting back to this place the next second. And in July this year, I'm actually going back to Mongolia.
Really?
And visiting this tribe that are living in this way, with the horses and the eagles when they're using for hunting. So I'm looking so forward to it.
Hmm.
So finally I will be able to go back to one of my past lives and visit.
Yeah. So how many do you think you remember overall?
Oh, God. 6, 7, maybe 10.
Wow.
I'm not sure. I haven't counted.
Did these memories just kind of confuse you? Did you have them when you were younger initially?
No, they can come whenever.
Okay, and you just suddenly remember, oh, I was that person at some point.
Yeah, it can, and it's just getting a lot of memory coming up.
Hmm. So almost like a rush of information?
Yeah.
Okay. Hmm.
And most of my lives, I had a job, I have a purpose, thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, there have been a lot of people that didn't like me to tell the truth or trying to convince people to think new thoughts and change the systems.
Hmm. So you're kind of a catalyst in all of your lives.
Yeah, I have been. So I'm trying again.
Okay. I don't know if I have any more questions for you at the moment. I mean, I probably do, and as soon as we stop, we're going to be like, oh, I should have asked this, this, and this, and this. it's such a wide subject. Like I said, to me, the paranormal experiences aren't necessarily separate from the seemingly extraterrestrial ones. I think all that stuff goes together.
Yeah.
Most people who have any kind of encounters also have the paranormal stuff on top of it.
Hmm.
It fascinates me that people will see Bigfoot and then a UFO. You know, I think there's something there that, you know, we're dealing with some kind of sense of things that not everyone has or is not in the same spot to see those frequencies.
Hmm. I think that everyone can actually see this, but you have to be open for it and you have to work for it. And
I wonder sometimes if there's a limitation to the brain on some people. Like when you take someone like Richard Dawkins, who, you know, God helmet he tried, hoping to have an experience, and he didn't have an experience. And I think, is it possible that your brain just isn't open to, you know, like there's just a limitation there that doesn't allow you to have these experiences?
For me, as a Norwegian, I don't know who he is, but for me, that sounds a little bit strange to try to gather information.
He is a very, very famous atheist.
Okay.
Who shoots down anything spiritual in any way, shape, or form. And Graham Hancock had asked him once if he would do ayahuasca. And his response, I believe, was that if he could find a way to do it perfectly safely, he would consider doing it. But no matter what happened, he would just explain it away as part of the process of the brain. And I'm thinking, this is not an open way to approach something. No. You know, it's kind of like a true believer, except his belief is that, you know, everything's material.
Hmm. But the material doesn't exist. Everything is energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that every physicist can tell the same thing.
No, that's true.
Even Einstein or Tesla or anyone else will say exactly the same thing.
Hmm. What do you think the most valuable thing you learned from all this has been? Again, easy question, I know.
I know. That is to see the world with new eyes. And I'm still changing from day to day.
Mm-hmm.
And still learning, opening up. The latest thing for me now has been to be more and more in the present, in the moment.
Mm.
And I see that the more I'm doing that, the more I'm experiencing.
Nice.
And after I started to do that, I can actually go outside, sit in the bush, and out of the blue, then you can suddenly see the energy going from the ground up to the trees, like in science fiction's movies.
Mm-hmm.
Or looking at the leaves and you can see the life. Like in the Matrix, and it just blows me away. I think that even the more and more I see these things, I think that life is a miracle. And then I'm feeling so sad when I'm seeing what the people are doing. They are sleepwalkers, walking around with their headphones, their mobile phones. They don't care about the world at all. The big questions, they are just thinking about the big questions in life. If they are having problems or someone dies, that's it. And they are limiting themselves so much and don't understand the big power each and everyone actually have. So if you want to have the change in the world, be the change yourself. That is the only thing.
Okay.
You can't sit there and wait and expect everyone else to change. You have to change.
That's a great answer. What would you say to people who are having these experiences and are terrified by them?
First of all, if you need someone to talk to, don't go to your closest family members and friends that you have been staying with day in and day out. Most of them will just tear you down or think you're stupid and all this kind of stuff. The next one is that don't go for the first and the best person you see in public that likes the UFO circus.
Because there
are a lot of them and they are nutcases. Sorry to say that, but that's the truth.
It is very true.
Mm-hmm. Try to find people that are researchers, having their own experiences, trying to get this down to a normal level, because everything is normal. They exist, even if you don't see them. They are still there. The same thing as X-rays. You don't see them, but they are there. They are working. So find the right people and then start to talk.
Okay.
Don't go to the priests or the... psychologist or anyone who don't have the experience, because they will just put you down or medicate you or anything like that. They have no idea what you're talking about. Find the right person.
Okay. And you have the book coming out later this year.
Yeah, hopefully it has to be done by September.
Okay. I will keep you posted on that.
All right. And do you know what the title's going to be?
A Hybrid's Story.
Okay. So do you feel you're a hybrid between them and us?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. And you have a website? Or in the works?
It's in progress.
Okay.
It will come very soon. This week, I think.
Do you know what the website is going to be?
That will just be my name.
And you want to spell that for people?
I think that I will leave that to Peter. Right. I'm not a good at spelling.
That's all right. It's okay.
KateThorvaldsen. Kate Thorvaldsen.
Okay.
And if in doubt, contact your host at the radio station here.
That's right. WhereToTheRoadGo.com. And Peter, you have a couple of other things. We want to talk about what you have coming up in the next week here?
Yeah. Again, a week from today and yesterday, the evening of May 19th, and all day the 20th, we have the Pine Bush, New York, UFO Fair in nearby Middleton, New York. The first part of the day until 5 o'clock will be just fun stuff, great part for the kids. If you are up for the sociology of seeing a town transformed by Klingons, Martians, dogs wrapped in aluminum foil, and the entire pop culture pantheon of extraterrestrial related ideas out proud and marching, come. As these things are, this is a perfectly schizophrenic event, and I use that term with affection, that while a lot of folks are out there celebrating, having a goofy good time, we do have a sensational mini-conference coming at us, and it doesn't say it here. I think it's absolutely without charge.
Oh, okay.
If you have any questions about the event, just go to pinebushufofair.com. Okay. All day. Again, the speakers are Mark D'Antonio, myself, Kate, and Travis. The very next night, we have something very special in Ithaca.
Yes.
And that is really exciting. I mean, I'm looking forward to the conference and the UFO fair, but this is major for you and me. The night after the event, we will be screening Travis Walton story documentary at our historic State Theater in downtown Ithaca, a beautiful revival, like late Egyptian, late 1920s, early 30s theater that probably saw its share of silent movies in vaudeville before the talkies came in, seats at least 1,000 people. And it is an actual theater venue where anybody who is in the central New York State area, obviously beyond that if they can come and watch this outstanding feature-length documentary.
It is an excellent documentary.
And it's 100% benefit for the State Theater, which I should say is a nonprofit. Every major music venue that comes through New York State, great performers of all kinds perform at the State.
Mm-hmm. And you're so welcome at Night Vale there.
Yes, exactly. And it's only $10. It's $6 for retired. It's $6 for students. And it's not just a screening. When it's over, we will once again have Travis Walton, who will do his best to answer anybody's questions. I think it's one of the most exciting things to come to Ithaca for some time. And it's going to be doubly hysterical because it's graduation night for Cornell University.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a very strange graduation night for a number of people. If they decide to graduate and then come to our documentary, it's going to be fun, it's going to be educational, and it's going to be unique. So those are my next two big things. Not quite immediately, but following shortly on its heels, the weekend of the 17th and 18th of June, I will be in Athens, Greece, with my dear friend and close colleague, Rich Dolan.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be doing talks at a second annual conference called the Contact with Space Conference. It is a mixture of Wilhelm Reich, energy studies, UFOs, and to a degree, studying conspiracy theory as well, in a beautiful historic venue. The weekend of, I believe it's the 30th of June through like July 2nd, is the Roswell UFO Conference. And it's going to be, it's always an important conference. But this year, especially so, it's the 70th anniversary of Roswell. And if you are in the Southwest or you can make it to one conference this year in a remarkably unique little corner of America, come and join us there.
All right. I do have another question for you. Now that you brought up the hybrid question, when you say hybrid, what do you mean by that?
I must say that since my life has been filled with so many different kind of experiences, that when I come to the point that I was getting that idea that maybe I have to be one, and getting to that point that I said it to myself loudly, it was a lot of pieces that was falling into place, that's for sure. But we also have a little bit, I guess that a lot of people have heard about the Starchild's Call.
Mm-hmm.
I was meeting this Andrew Johnson in Holmfirth last year, and I was looking at this skull, but at the moment I didn't think so much about it, but my friend Tino Megaro, he was standing there holding the skull, and then he was looking at me, and you can see the light was coming on. And then he was coming over, and I have always been joking that I have a funny skull. Hmm. If I was shaving my hair, I would look strange. And we made Andrew measure up the top of the skull, mm-hmm. how the shape was. And then we was measuring mine, and it was 100% match.
Huh.
So we are just joking a little bit, but okay, I'm the updated version.
Okay.
So, yeah, there are so many pieces, so many things in the puzzle. And I'm thinking that, okay, why should the little gray one come into my bedroom when I was 2 years old just to check if I was okay?
Yeah. Do you think it's as much physical as it is spiritual in the hybrid sense?
Now I didn't.
Okay. Do you think you're physically part them and part us? Or do you think it's on a soul level?
I haven't been thinking about that, actually.
Okay.
But, partly both, I think, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know yet. Still, there's a lot of the puzzle me that is not in the... It's not solved yet. So, yeah. Still a lot of things to figure out.
Okay. All right. That's a great answer. All right. And any last words from either of you? Anything you want to... that we didn't cover that you would think people should know?
I'd like a blindfold and a cigarette. last words for the show. Okay. Right. All right. Always a pleasure being on your show. And as we've had our exchange tonight, I'm reminded, as somebody that has done an awful lot of radio interviews over the years, one of the things I really appreciate about the way that you do what you do, my friend, is... the questions that you ask, and I say this as a friend, as a guest occasionally on the show, and as a fan, you really do your homework. You ask questions that elicit thoughtful answers, and you cover the territory. I really appreciate it. You've asked Kat questions that got her speaking about things that I hadn't thought to ask her. And like all good times, doing the show for me goes too fast.
All right. Well, thank you. That means a lot coming from you, Peter.
You owe me $5.
Okay. All right. Just $5 this time?
The commercial time is over.
And I thank both of you for coming and hanging out in studio here tonight.
Our pleasure.
So nice to be here.
And again, www.wheredidtheroadgo.com for all your Where Did the Road Go needs. We're going to end off with some Mechanism off the Shift, their album The Shift, Anthems for a Revolution. This is Mouth of God. See you next time.
Reminds us from the night.